From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Y. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Growing up, I spent a lot of time in West Philadelphia, specifically a stretch of Lancaster Avenue in University City right off the Drexel campus. I was there at least a couple times a week after school, and often on weekends at a club where I practiced fencing. The point is, just feet from where I spent much of my childhood, something terrible happened.
It has been described as a house of horrors, this West Philadelphia abortion clinic, where 69-year-old Dr. Kermit Gosnell operated for more than 30 years.
Bloodstained blankets, expired drugs, dirty surgical equipment, a horrible stench clinging to the air.
The Philadelphia doctor who performed late-term abortions was found guilty on murder charges today.
I remember when that news came out, looking down the street at that clinic and saying to myself, that place? That's where that happened? I must have passed it 1,000 times and never gave it a second look. Kermit Gosnell is spending the rest of his life in prison. But that 3-story corner brick building, the scene of his crimes, is still sitting empty years later. And now, just like Gosnell himself, it's become a flashpoint in the abortion debate. Why are people still fighting over the Gosnell Clinic? Today on The Why, what to do with a house of horrors. Jen Kinney's been reporting the story for WHYY's Planned Philly. So Jen, I remember this, you know, happening, but just take me through again. It's been a few years. Like, what exactly happened at the clinic?
So Kermit Gosnell was a doctor who was operating at 38th and Lancaster for about 30 years. And he was a family planning doctor, and he also performed abortions. And in 2010, the police got tipped off that there was possibly a pill mill being run out of his clinic, that they were selling prescription drugs. And when they went to raid the clinic, they found so much worse than they were expecting. They were finding blood splattered all over the walls. They were finding cats that were living in the clinic. And then, you know, most horrifyingly, they were finding infant body parts in refrigerators, in cabinets. And quickly, they deduced that he was not performing legal abortions much of the time. He was performing these risky, illegal, unsafe procedures that were harmful to the mothers, but also broke a lot of Pennsylvania laws. He was performing abortions past 24 weeks, and he was actually delivering infants alive, breathing, crying, and then snipping their spinal cords. So no one's idea of what a safe or legal abortion looks like. He went on trial in 2013, and he was sentenced to life in prison. He was convicted of murder for some of the babies that were born alive and then killed, and also for manslaughter in the case of a woman who overdosed on anesthesia in his practice.
What happened to the building where he operated?
Well, the building still stands. It's still in Gosnell's name. And in fact, if you go there, there's a nameplate still visible through the front door. And you can see through the windows that it appears to be largely untouched since the raid. So there's crumbling ceiling tile all over the floor from where the water damage has started to seep in. But you can also see mail that's been left through the door. There's these house plants that are still in the windows. You can see chairs and filing cabinets.
It's like it was almost at the time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in some ways that are pretty unnerving to witness now after everything that's happened. If you look at the top floor windows of the building, there's actually decals of a man and a woman, these stick figures holding a child between them.
Wow. And what's going to happen to it?
Well, there's about $56,000 worth of back taxes on the property. So it's considered tax delinquent, and now it's owned by the city. It has been listed for sheriff's sale 4 times since Gosnell was arrested. And it's never actually gone up for auction. This is like a standard procedure for properties owned by the city that they will then auction them and people can bid on them and bring those buildings kind of back into use. But I spoke to the city, and they told me that every time that this one has gone up for auction in the standard way, the city then has sort of quietly pulled it back off the auction blocks because they want to do something else with it. They wouldn't comment on what that is, but I think the city recognizes that this is just too controversial of a property to put out to a public bid.
So this neighborhood it's mostly a working class African-American neighborhood. A lot of people who went to see Dr. Gosnell were from the surrounding area. What do people in the neighborhood think should happen with the building?
So neighbors are pretty divided. I spoke to a woman named Phyllis Carter, who owns a consignment store right across the street.
Part of me, 3834 Lancaster Avenue.
And she's lived in the neighborhood for 41 years. She remembers friends going to see Dr. Gosnell when he was considered a legitimate doctor.
Dr. Gosnell was at one point a great doctor, so I think half of the neighborhood probably went to Dr. Gosnell for GYN.
And she's like, move on.
And you want to have a whole bunch of folks come and taking pictures because, oh, this the old Dr. Gosnell office.
So you don't want to see any of that history referenced?
No.
So she thinks the city should just go ahead, sell the building to maybe some business and just move on from it.
Yeah, she compared it to like Main Street in Manayunk. She was like, you know, Lancaster Avenue is developing. There's all this new progress. She has a business that draws people from other neighborhoods. She said, you know, I don't want it to be some kind of noisy bar, but if it was something commercial, that would make her happy. And then, you know, I was standing there kind of looking in the windows of the building with a WHYY photographer, and this woman, Gail Floyd, walked up to us kind of laughing, and she was like, you're the second group of people I've seen today taking pictures through this window, which kind of gets to what Phyllis Carter was saying, you know, if you keep this building up, people will keep coming to see it.
I don't know what I want to see happen to it. I just know that it was it's hard to look at for a lot of the girls in the neighborhood.
She also knows women who went to Gosnell, but kind of in his later years when he was performing these more harmful procedures. It's painful for her to look at. It's painful for other neighbors to look at, but she doesn't want to see it erased.
And I think if you're going to take something that you think is historic and not put the history about the building in it, then I think you failed the building altogether. I don't think Gosnell should get any praise. I think more so now it's time to be remorseful.
So Gail thinks there should be some kind of signifier about what happened there. Has anyone tried to do that?
Yeah, and this is an interesting point because, you know, yeah, Gail says she thinks something should be there, but she doesn't want it to be anti-abortion.
I'm not against women doing what they want with their bodies. I'm just against a person who takes advantage of that.
She supports abortion rights. She thinks that women went to Gosnell because they didn't have other options. The flip side to that is that anti-abortion groups have expressed a lot of interest in this property over the years.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with reporter Jen Kinney about Kermit Gosnell's West Philadelphia Clinic and what neighbors and others want to see done with the building. So Jen, the building next door to the clinic was purchased by a company called AlphaCare. What exactly is AlphaCare?
They are what's known as a crisis pregnancy center. So they will try to convince women with unwanted pregnancies that they should either keep their children and parent them or give them up for adoption instead of having abortions. And this has been a nationwide strategy for pregnancy crisis centers and other anti-abortion groups to buy the site of former abortion clinics and either turn them into crisis pregnancy centers or sometimes just memorials. There's actually one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was a clinic. Now it is known as the American Holocaust Museum. All these other sort of very political uses of former clinics. So AlphaCare now owns this building next door, but over the years, they have multiple times expressed interest in buying the Gosnell Clinic itself. They've given comment to some pro-life blogs about this. They've talked about it at civic association meetings. They've made clear that this is something that they would like to do if they can. The last time that the building was up for sheriff's sale earlier this year, AlphaCare seemed poised to bid on it. And some of the people who were supporting that plan are this couple that I spoke to, John and Loida McKeever.
I'm Loida McKeever. I'm John's wife.
My name's John McKeever. I'm Loida's husband.
When they found out that his clinic was still standing and owned by the city, they started a GoFundMe and also a petition trying to raise funds to purchase the building or to help AlphaCare purchase the building.
And why did they do that?
Well, Loida had been pretty involved in the pro-life movement for a while.
There needs to be a change. You know, abortion is not healthcare.
They're both evangelical. You know, they say that they don't want people to forget what happened here.
I mean, that area is getting, the property value is going up. It's getting a bit gentrified. Things are getting, you know, it can be bulldozed and become a Starbucks tomorrow, which I think is what the city wants, a distant memory. that know, oh, that happened there, but now it's a beautiful shoe store.
We can't forget what happened either.
But they also say, you know, they are against abortion, but they say that they want to see women who have unwanted pregnancies receive ongoing support after the point at which they have decided to keep their babies.
I personally would love more of like a redemption story and make it, you know, a mother's home or a place where instead of the abortions taking place is a place where there's life now.
So far, the city hasn't actually allowed the building to go up for sale. What are the McKeevers doing in the meantime?
Yeah, that's right. For the time being, this property is really in limbo. So the McKeevers have shifted their focus to the grave site. And this has been kind of a point of contention since Gosnell went to trial, with anti-abortion groups wanting some kind of memorial at the place where his victims are buried. There's about 47 infants or babies that were recovered from his clinic after his arrest, and they are buried in Laurel Hill Cemetery.
What did it take to find this the first time?
We walked around for literally about 2 hours, but even then it's kind of hard because they're tucked behind a giant tree. So, okay, well, there's no marker, just behind a tree.
And you teddy bears. You'll see teddy bears there.
So they approached both Laurel Hill Cemetery and the medical examiner's office asking if they could put up a headstone. The medical examiner's office told them that that grave must be treated like any of the graves of unclaimed remains and remain unmarked.
We bought a little angel and put a little plaque on it, and we came and the plaque was taken off. In the plaque it did say, what did we write?
In memory of the babies lost at 3801 Lancaster Avenue.
I guess they didn't like that. That was taken off.
Right.
But they left your angel.
They did leave the angel.
And the cross.
So they then approached Laurel Hill Cemetery, and the McKeevers asked, well, can we buy the plot next to it? Laurel Hill also denied that request. I spoke to Nancy Goldenberg, who is the CEO of Laurel Hill Cemetery, and she told me that's because they have a policy that all of the burial sites must have actual remains.
We are not in the business of selling people land. We are in the business of selling people burial lots for burials of people. And they told us they had no intention of burying anybody there.
So why are people still fighting over whether to memorialize this whole incident?
Yeah, so this is a case that obviously emotions run really high over. The women who went to Gosnell, they suffered some horrible injustices, medical malpractice, you know, infanticide. I mean, it's so graphic and so disturbing, some of what took place there, that I think inevitably it was going to be taken up by both anti-abortion and pro-abortion groups.
Why would it be taken up by both of those groups?
Well, so people who oppose abortion, want to make it harder to get legal abortions, they point to Gosnell and say, this is the reality of abortions. They say it's not health care, it's murder. And you can point to Gosnell and use it as this really clear, graphic example of that. People who support abortion rights say, no, this is what happens when you don't have access to safe and legal abortion. You push people into situations where they have to go to doctors like Gosnell, where they are receiving their care, you know, on Sundays when the office is closed because it's not legal for them to get it otherwise. They say, you know, this is actually a great argument for why we should have safe, legal abortion.
But, you know, it sounds like what we talked about initially when you talked about the reaction from people in the neighborhood, that this is also in part less about pro-abortion versus anti-abortion and somewhat about this specific neighborhood and whether people who live in this neighborhood want to see this place and these events memorialized in this way. You mentioned earlier this is a changing neighborhood, right?
Yeah, there is another side to this, which is just looking at it from the neighborhood level. As I said, it's in a prominent part of the neighborhood. It's something that people are passing by every day. And there's been, you know, an attempt in recent years. People are opening new businesses nearby. It's right near the Drexel campus. And so there's also, I think, this question of, you know, should this neighborhood continue to have to bear the brunt of this memorializing? Some of the people I talked to said, you know, we don't miss the days when there were protests outside of this clinic every day. They don't want to see it become an anti-abortion monument or a pro-abortion political statement. They just would like to sidestep this conversation for a while and have some more positive use for the neighborhood in that place.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, thanks, Ty.
Jen Kinney reported this story for WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Xavier Lopez, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. What do you think should happen to the clinic? Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.